Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today, joining us from Los Angeles, host and reporter for Sportsnet LA, the Dodgers television home, Alana Rizzo. But before we talk to Alana, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America, and you can also watch great golf there. Coming soon, the city of San Francisco will host the top 64 professional golfers in the world at TPC Harding Park as they play in the World Golf Championship Cadillac Match Play Tournament. Don't miss this spectacular event, April the 27th through May the 3rd. Please visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. And Alana Rizzo joins us from Los Angeles, where the Giants and Dodgers are going at it again after a series in San Francisco that saw the Giants sweep. And Alana, you know, the Dodgers were off to a great start. They were on a roll when they came into San Francisco. They had won seven in a row, and the Giants were not playing good baseball. What has changed since then, in your mind? Did that sweep mean anything as far as the way these two teams are going?
Well, I can tell you that the Dodgers are counting the San Francisco Giants out. You know, we talked about that heavily before that game started, that series started. And regardless of the record, this is a series that always has a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, and generally it always seems to be a good series. Now, naturally, it went in the favor of the Giants, but I don't know that anything has really changed. I think, you know, that's probably a bigger series for the Giants just because of how they started. Naturally, I don't think it hurts the Dodgers as much, only because we're so early on in the season. You know, the Dodgers went from San Francisco to San Diego, and obviously San Diego is a much better team this year than they have been in years past.
Right.
And the Dodgers were able to take two out of three in San Diego. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens now at Dodger Stadium as we get ready for a three-game set. As the Giants come to town.
Well, one thing the Dodgers have discovered is that they really have something in Alex Guerrero. I mean, I'm sure they thought they did. They paid him, what, $28 million, but five home runs already. You know, you kind of saw this coming, the way that he was developing as quickly as he was. I remember seeing him in the minor leagues, and he had a great series, the one that I covered, and I just thought, wow, you know, he's going to be in the major league soon, and here he is. So what kind of impact is he making?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right as far as the offense is concerned. The Dodgers knew what they had in Alex Guerrero offensively. They knew that he could swing a good bat. The only question with Alex Guerrero, and the reason that he had some time in the minors, is because they really weren't sure how he was going to be with the glove. Naturally, he grew up as a shortstop, or I should say he grew up as a natural shortstop. And they moved him over to second base, and they didn't really think that he took to second base as well as they had hoped. Once they moved him over to third base, it was almost as if something just clicked for him. Don Mattingly has said on several occasions that he really likes the way that Alex Guerrero is so much more comfortable on the left side of the infield. And it's not even just the left side of the infield, just the left side of the field, period. They certainly think that they can play Alex Guerrero in left field. So you can play him at third, you can play him in left field, and he's really forcing his name into the conversation to have to play him because he has, as we sit here and do this blog, he has 13 RBIs in 21 at-bats. And when you have a guy that's swinging the bat as hot as he is right now, you have to find a place to put him in the lineup. Now, of course, everybody wants Alex Guerrero to play every day, but you have a veteran third baseman in Juan Uribe that Don Mattingly just trusts. Juan Uribe may be a bit better defensively at third base because, of course, he's been playing it for so long. But Alex Guerrero is really coming along with the glove. They really like the way he looks, you know, at third base on the left side of the infield, the way that he sees the field on that side, the angles of that side. And you're going to have to he's forcing their hand of having to play him. Now, Alex Guerrero has a very interesting thing in his contract. He has something in his contract that said he did not have to accept a minor league assignment. So he's basically forcing their hand anyway. And that's part of the reason that he broke camp at the beginning of the season. But he was also playing very well and had a very good spring training. So while contractually he could not be sent to the minors, he's really proving that he belongs at this level.
Well, that's a nice thing to have in your contract, I'll tell you that.
That doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't. Now, there's plenty of veterans to help him out. So what have Jimmy Rollins and Howie Kendrick added to this club. And I know Rollins has been off to a really slow start with a bat, and Kendrick's actually been swinging it well. But what do you think they bring to the table?
100% leadership. There's just a completely different feel. You know, Joe, you know as well as I do, having covered the sport and just sports in general, you always talk about that veteran presence in a clubhouse or a locker room. And there's actually a legitimacy to that when you're talking about Jimmy Rollins and Howie Kendrick. And there's just something about Jimmy Rollins in particular that when he walks in a room, he just kind of demands attention, and people just tend to listen to him. And while he has started off the season very slow offensively, he has made some dynamic defensive plays. Plus, he's the first guy. Now, naturally, the shortstop is the captain of the infield. But he's the first guy to the mound if a pitcher tends to get into trouble or needs a breather or what have you. And Howie Kendrick at second base is doing the exact same thing. These guys have, you know, Jimmy certainly has a championship pedigree. He's been an MVP before. He has a National League MVP, World Series championship to his resume. And they just get it. And there's just a completely different feel in this clubhouse than in last year's clubhouse. There's just a lot more positivity. I think these guys play very well together. There's not as big personalities, I guess. And it's not about individual players. Not to say last year's team was bad. I'm not suggesting that. But these guys just seem to complement each other more and trust in one another a little bit more, that the guy behind them is going to get the job done.
We'll have more with Dodgers host and reporter Alana Rizzo right after this. Giants fans are settling for nothing but the best these days, so if you're in the market for buying or selling real estate in San Francisco, you'll want the A-1 real estate agent. Well, at McGuire Real Estate, the top producer is Robert Merriman, and I encourage you to give him a call at 415-351-4698 or check him out at robertmerriman.com. Robert Merriman is opening doors for buyers and sellers in the city, and his excellent service is never discounted. Whether you're a buyer or seller in San Francisco, you need a creative negotiator on your team. Robert Merriman at McGuire Real Estate is the man for the job. Contact Robert at 415-351-4698. That's 415-351-4698. Or robertmerriman.com. You know, I wondered about Andre Ethier because there was talk about, you know, they would trade him, and was he the odd man out? Well, now with Yasiel Puig on the disabled list for the first time in his career, Ethier becomes valuable. And also, he's been hitting. I mean, he's hitting. He doesn't have a lot of at-bats so far, but he's hitting really well. So what was his attitude? How does he fit in when Puig is healthy?
You know, Andre Ethier made it very clear that he wanted to be an everyday player and that he certainly doesn't consider himself to be a bench guy. But Andre Ethier so far, I believe that the Dodgers have played 18 games so far this season, I want to say. I think Andre Ethier has played 16 of the 18 games in some capacity. And as you mentioned, with Yasiel Puig going on disabled list with that left hamstring strain, Andre Ethier figures to be the starting right fielder, with the exception of a certain pitching matchup. If Scott Van Slyke, the right-hander needs to be in there in right field because of the pitching matchup, then he will be. But Andre Ethier will see the majority of the time, and his attitude has been tremendous. Andre Ethier had a great spring. And, you know, that's not to say that great springs always translate into the regular season, but he had a tremendous spring, and he's very healthy. He's swinging the bat really well. He changed his stance up a little bit as far as, more of where he's holding his hands and grabbing the bat, choking up on the bat a little bit more. And he's just been really, really productive coming off the bench and starting. And the same can be said for Scott Van Slyke. You know, Andre Ethier and Scott Van Slyke were supposedly the fourth and fifth outfielders for the Dodgers. But if you look at their production, I mean, that's an incredibly strong bench. And then you include Justin Turner in that mix. So this club, say what you want, but this club is very deep.
Now, Jock Peterson, he's off to a pretty good start, and he's that kind of kid who just looks like he belongs. He reminds me of when Buster Posey came up. You know, you just had that feeling,
right?
Like, this kid's already, he's been prepared and he's ready to go. And he has the Bay Area roots. We know that he went to Palo Alto High School, and maybe some people don't know that he used to catch touchdown passes from Christoph Bono, who is a catcher now at UCLA, the son of Steve Bono, who does a podcast with me on the 49ers.
Well,
so all that's
it all comes together.
It's all coming together. But Jock just seems like he has it together. What have you thought of him?
Doc Peterson is a great kid, and he is already at just 23 years of age. He just had a birthday, actually, when we were in San Francisco just a few days ago, so he was able to spend it with his family in Northern California.
Oh, cool.
But he is a kid that just gets it defensively. I mean, honestly, he's probably the best defensive outfielder that this club has, even at his young age and lack of Major League Baseball experience. He can cover an amazing amount of ground. He gets tremendous jumps. He has great reads. And they just loved him in center field. Offensively, you know, he naturally was the PCL Player of the Year. He can steal bases. He can hit the ball. But he struck out a lot, too. And that was the biggest, I guess, knock against Jock coming into the regular season. And, you know, talking to Mark McGwire, our hitting coach, and John Valentin, assistant hitting coach here with the Dodgers, you know, they really just did not want him to expand his strike zone. They wanted him to be able to swing at strikes, not swing at balls. And he's really done a nice job trying to adjust to that. He's walking a lot more. He's not striking out as much. And it's just a learning curve. You know, we always want to anoint these kids that are high prospects in the system, but also have to understand that, you know, this is the big league level and they're facing big league pitching. And, you know, a few times that, you know, these guys face one another, pitchers are going to figure them out a little bit. And it's, can you make the adjustment when a pitcher has a better book on you? And that's the same thing Don Mattingly was saying about Alex Guerrero, is that the cat and mouse with Alex Guerrero hasn't quite started yet, because major league pitchers, or the opposition in general, doesn't exactly know how to face him. You know, the more they see him, the more they're going to be able to figure him out, and then can he make the adjustment? So Jock has been, you know, a really nice addition. There's no question at all in center field, and he just kind of has to, you know, continue to be patient at the plate and not expand his strike zone.
More with Alana Rizzo after this. Today's interview is being sponsored by Toscolito Tire and Automotive. You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscolito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscolito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combined their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscolito Tire and Automotive, with 4 Marin locations plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo. Toscolito, more than just a tire store. There's always that learning curve, except maybe in the few exceptions like the pitching matchup on Tuesday of Madison Bumgarner and Clayton Kershaw. Those guys didn't have much of a learning curve. They come up early in their life and they just dominate. Now, they're not really being dominant so far this year. Their ERAs right. are over 4. But, you know, when they're on the mound, it's an event. And to have two matchups with these two guys in a week, Alana, I mean, this is just amazing. It's just wonderful to see. Can you put it into context a little bit? I mean, I know historically Giants Dodgers, great rivalry, you know, all kinds of matchups, but, you know, Sandy Koufax against Juan Marichal, is that what we're looking at?
Yeah,
here?
You know, it's funny, and Clayton Kershaw hates the comparisons, because, you know, when you ask him about it, he just says that, you know, Sandy, of course, is just so accomplished and has done so much, and Sandy Koufax is an incredibly private person, but the two of them have a wonderful relationship. And, you know, the rematch of Kershaw and Bumgarner wasn't even supposed to happen. The only reason it is because Don Mattingly and his staff are kind of trying to mix in some extra days to get extra, you know, rest for some of these guys. And, you know, Kershaw was supposed to throw on Monday.
Right.
So he's actually now throwing on Tuesday because Brett Anderson is going on Monday. I guess that's today now. My days get confusing. but, you know, it is a tremendous matchup, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find two better lefties in the game right now. Clayton Kershaw is out of this world, and his numbers are absolutely just unbelievable, truly. And, of course, we all know that he's, you know, he dominates the regular season, and Madison Bumgarner has had some tremendous postseasons. And don't think for one second that doesn't irritate Clayton. I mean, he's one of the biggest competitors you'll ever meet. The guy is just, you know, you always hear those cliches, first in, last out, but it's legitimate with him. And he is an absolute workhorse, and he wants to throw every single pitch perfectly. And we have gotten to the point now where if Clayton Kershaw doesn't throw a complete game shutout every single outing, we're like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with Clayton Kershaw? Whereas anybody else, you know, you go 6-7 innings and it's the greatest outing of their life. So, you know, when he signed his gigantic contract, he said something that kind of stuck out to me. He said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And it's true. And, you know, Clayton Kershaw is held to a completely different standard, and he continues to put up the numbers to warrant that praise. He hasn't had a Clayton Kershaw type of season yet, but he's only had three starts. So I don't ever worry about Clayton. And I tell you what, we have a 1A on our staff as well, and Zach Greinke, that could be an ace on probably, you know, 27 other clubs, who's having a very good year.
Yeah, that's a major advantage to have both of those guys. And before I let you go, Alana, getting back to that matchup of Kershaw-Bumgarner, the intensity, it seems like you could just feel it. And you know that those guys are going to be out there competing, even if it wasn't against, Bumgarner for Kershaw and vice versa. They'd be out there the same way. But what about the rest of the team? I mean, did it have a different feel to you because it was such a tight game and just these two guys going at it, and each team wants to win it so badly when, you know, it's just an April game, but
without,
a little extra?
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. I have to say this. I think San Francisco Giants fans are tremendous fans. The park is so intimate that it is louder. It's more exciting. They get into the game. They get it. They're smart. It's a fun atmosphere to watch. It's a fun atmosphere to be a part of. And, of course, when Kershaw and Bumgarner are on the hill, there's just an extra level of intensity. And the fans and the crowd, they're just in an extra gear. And I think they can appreciate good pitching matchups. I think they certainly know the history of the two teams. They know the history of those two guys. You know, they can understand what the Giants did last year, and they know how good Clayton Kershaw is. I mean, it was the first time that a National League MVP or just a regular season MVP squared off against a reigning World Series MVP. That had never happened before. So to be able to have those two guys on the hill, and again, both left-handed, that's kind of cool too. And it's a fun rivalry. It's a fun matchup, and it's always a great thing to be a part of. So it'll be interesting to see how Dodger Stadium reacts to it tomorrow night.
All right, Alana, hey, thanks for the time. I always enjoyed your work on MLB Network, but it's much better to have you on the West Coast, adding to the flavor of the Giants-Dodgers rivalry.
Well, I appreciate it very much. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
That's Alana Rizzo, host and reporter from Sportsnet LA, covering the Los Angeles Dodgers. Join us again on Wednesday. We'll have another podcast on the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk about the Giants-Dodgers series. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.